Welcome to the deep dive. So you've sent over a really interesting batch of material. This time it's all focused on Digital Detox Canada.
That's right.
And our plan today really is to just dig into these various sources. We've got blog posts, some website bits, and, you know, figure out what they're really about. What are the core ideas they're putting forward?
Exactly. It's a mix, isn't it? Blog entries from different times, stuff from their membership page. And what seems to come through is this organization trying to navigate, well, our world, this digital world.
Yeah.
How do we handle the good stuff and the tricky parts that come with being online so much?
Okay, right. Let's unpack that. The membership thing definitely jumped out at me. It looks like they've set up a PayPal subscription now, but it's not just like a donation thing. They're actually listing out specific benefits.
Yeah, and how they frame those benefits is pretty telling, I think. They say, point blank, they want to respond to what members actually need for their own goals. And the examples they give, well, they're interesting. Things like online safety questions, sure. But then also this mention of longing for 80 styles and real connections.
80 styles, that's specific.
It is, and it suggests they're really listening, you know? Trying to meet people where they are, addressing both the digital worries and this like nostalgia or desire for something more tangible, more offline.
Right, like that real human connection piece that maybe feels lacking sometimes. And they talk about actually doing things, creating in-person events, raising awareness.
Exactly. Trying to find that balance, they say, between innovation and community and our physical selves.
It doesn't feel anti-technology, though, does it?
Well,
it's about balance.
Precisely. They acknowledge the great innovations, definitely, but right away they bring in community, physical presence. It's kind of holistic.
Yeah.
And they sort of tease that there are more benefits once you join, which creates a bit of intrigue, you know?
Okay, interesting. Let's switch over to one of the blog posts then. This one, Everything is Dance. It starts with this kind of contradictory idea.
How so?
Well, it says we're always in this dynamic motion connected to everything, but at the same time, physically, this might be one of the most still periods in human history.
Ah, right. Yeah, that does make you think.
And it links that stillness to productivity, saying sometimes it's good for the environment, sometimes maybe not. It's quite nuanced.
Yeah, it avoids just saying, you know, sitting is bad. It asks us to think about what getting things done actually looks like now.
And then it shifts. And this bit I found really interesting. It talks about who gets to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the past, maybe you needed money, resources, but now digital tools open that up for so many more people, which they frame as a good thing, obviously.
Which it is in many ways. But, and this is the key insight, I think, while it unlocks creativity, it also creates a whole mess of new problems.
Right. They dive straight into that.
Yeah. Concerns about like exponential imitation, threats to IP, cultural heritage, even the pressure to monetize everything, which can clash with just, you know, making art.
Totally. And ethical issues, physical stuff too.
And then they bring it back to digital detox, saying it's a chance to reflect on how we create, to adopt an artistic mindset, mindfulness, curiosity, experimenting.
So detox isn't just stopping. It's like refueling your creativity.
That seems to be the idea. It's conscious reconnection. And they end that post with a call out, asking artists in their community to become like leaders, facilitators, coaches for digital detox.
Building a movement, sounds like.
Yeah, very grassroots.
Okay, let's look at another one. Mitigating negative impacts of digital technology. This gets right to the downsides.
Yep. Acknowledges the benefits first, but then pivots quickly to the worries, mental health, physical health, productivity, social stuff.
And this is where they get practical. They list five strategies. What's the first one?
Establishing digital boundaries. So basically setting specific tech-free times, meals, bedtime, social gatherings.
Right, to protect your mental well-being and relationships. That echoes the real connections idea from the membership info.
Exactly. Number two is practicing mindfulness and focus.
To fight the constant distractions, the shrinking attention spans.
Yeah, consciously trying to cultivate focus without the digital noise.
Makes sense. What's next?
Promoting physical activity, directly countering the sitting down all day aspect of digital life.
They mention specific risks too, don't they?
Yeah.
Obesity, neck problems, eye strain.
Nah.
Stuff lots of us probably feel.
Very tangible things, yeah. Then number four is educating and raising awareness.
This feels central, like helping people understand the potential impacts, mental health, why boundaries matter, risks of too much exposure.
So people can make informed choices. It's about empowerment through knowledge.
And the last one?
This one's interesting. Leveraging technology for well-being.
Oh, so not just seeing tech as the problem.
Right. They point out that you can actually use apps, tools, online resources for mindfulness, for mental health support, using tech to help manage tech's downsides in a way.
Okay, that's a pretty balanced take. So the message here is really be aware of the risks, but be proactive. Take steps.
Yeah, it's all about intentionality, which actually leads nicely into another post. This one's from June 2023.
Right.
It sets a scene. Like, Lara Lang mentions NASA's internet apocalypse warning, you know, that solar storm thing.
Oh, yeah, vaguely remember that.
And Ontario bringing in a new digital literacy curriculum, starting really young, grade one, plus other big global stuff happening, then a partial coup somewhere, nuclear threats, that smoky haze.
Wow, quite the backdrop.
Right. And the point seems to be, with all this huge, uncontrollable stuff going on, focus on what you can control. And then it gets personal.
How so?
Shares a story about a friend in a coffee shop playing Sudoku on paper. Why? To avoid TikTok because they felt it was wrecking their attention span.
Huh. That's so relatable. The struggle is real.
Totally. And then there's this funny bit where the author admits they didn't know what a thirst trap photo was.
Shows how fast the language changes, eh?
Exactly. But the real kernel, for me, in that post is about the digital literacy in
The
schools.
curriculum thing.
Yeah. And the quote, "If you can name it, you can do it." The idea that having the vocabulary, knowing terms like HTML, CSS, or even digital detox gives you the power to understand and act.
That's a great point. Language gives you agency.
It really does. It's foundational for actual literacy in this area.
Okay, let's look at the post. What are we doing? Creation or consumption? This seems pretty core.
Yeah, this one gets right into how we use tech. It contrasts how easy it is now to make stuff right, publish, versus how easy it is to just consume, mindless scrolling, watching, gaming.
Passive versus active.
Exactly. And the Digital Detox Canada approach laid out here is about shifting that, moving from being just a consumer to being a co-creator.
Like publishing, podcasting, participating.
Yeah, turning that energy flow around. And they argue that doing that shift sparks awareness, appreciation, reflection, the things you need for boundaries and healthy habits.
So creating makes you more mindful.
That seems to be the idea. And they even frame it as an opportunity for teachers. Like, tap into kids' interest in devices, but guide it towards creation. Safely there, with limits, reflection. That's crucial.
And Digital Detox Canada offers support for that.
Training, workshops, materials, even online publishing help for students, parents, teachers, positioning themselves as partners in that shift.
Got it. Now there's another post just called Digital Boundaries.
Simple title, big concept. It calls this a new category of boundary setting, which, when you think about how fast everything changed, makes total sense.
Yeah, the post points out we're basically the first generation to go through such a huge technological shift.
It's wild. They even mention the internet's military origins.
And they connect it forward to the coming fourth industrial revolution,
Right.
robots, AI, algorithms.
Right, giving that broader context of ongoing massive change, which makes these boundaries even more critical, presumably.
But again, they balance it. They acknowledge the good stuff too.
Definitely. Global connection, instant info, global business, social media for community, all the positives are mentioned.
So it's recognizing both sides, the amazing transformations and the new challenges and risks.
A very balanced view. And they plug their issues in digital engagement course here too, reinforcing that educational angle.
Okay, last one here looks like will they give us more digital pollution in communication?
Intriguing title and kind of a paradoxical start to this one.
Yeah.
It mentions that Digital Detox Canada actually used ChatGPT to help create course materials about digital age issues.
Wait, really? Digital Detox Canada using AI.
Yeah. But the author explains their own sort of journey with it. Started with hearing people on Clubhouse talking about using AI for like social media copy, sales
Right,
scripts.
the automation of communication.
And it sparked this concern, you know, are we just going to be flooded with AI-written stuff, digital noise?
A valid concern.
So out of curiosity, the author tried using ChatGPT to summarize books. And one of the books is called Human-Centered Communication by Butte and Passanelli, A Business Case Against Digital Pollution.
Wow, digital pollution. That term really hits, doesn't it?
It does. And the post summarizes the book's main point, that digital communication, when it's just about efficiency or volume, can become this pollution that actually damages real human connection.
So prioritizing quantity over quality, essentially?
Pretty much. The book argues for a human-centered approach instead, focusing on actual human needs and values in how we communicate online.
What else does the book emphasize, according to the post?
Empathy is huge. Really understanding and respecting other people's perspectives is key for authentic connection online, and also transparency and honesty, especially for businesses to build trust.
And does it offer ways to do that? Practical strategies?
Yeah, the post lists some. Active listening, empathy, transparency, respect for opinions, collaboration, like concrete actions for better online interaction.
So the takeaway from the book, via the post, is that we need to be much more intentional to avoid drowning in this digital pollution and actually build real connections online.
Exactly. It's a call for more humanity in our digital interactions.
Okay, one last piece of material here. It's a review of a book called Reconomy by Richard Branson and the Kielbergers.
Right. The post frames this book as being super relevant now with all the global challenges we face.
And what's the core idea of Weconomy?
It's basically proposing a new economic model, one where social responsibility and environmental sustainability are right up there with profit.
So business for good, essentially.
Yeah, businesses and people trying to make the world better while being successful. The review highlights finding a purpose beyond just profit.
And that leads to better results anyway.
That's the argument. Greater long-term success, more engaged employees, because there's a deeper why.
It mentions we-centric leadership, too. What's that about?
It emphasizes things like collaboration, empathy, focusing on the common good over just individual gain. The idea is that this makes organizations stronger, more innovative.
And it touches on social entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. Businesses specifically designed for social impact that are also financially viable. Reinforcing that business can be a positive force.
Does the book offer practical advice?
Apparently so. The review says it gives guidance on implementing these ideas, like creating a clear purpose, sustainable practices, community involvement, making it actionable.
Okay, so summing all this up, as we wrap up this deep dive into the Digital Detox Canada stuff, what are the big themes jumping out?
Well, definitely this constant thread about finding balance, right, between the online and offline worlds.
Yeah, and the need for mindfulness.
Yeah.
Being intentional about how we use technology, not just letting it happen to us.
Absolutely. And tied to that, the value they place on real-world connections, actual activities, you know, getting away from the screen sometimes.
The whole digital literacy piece also seems really important. Understanding the tech, its impact, the language around it.
Yeah, that evolving understanding. And this recurring idea that tech itself isn't inherently good or bad. It's a tool.
It can help or hinder our well-being. It depends on us.
Exactly. How we engage with it.
So it really feels like Digital Detox Canada positions itself as a guide, helping people and communities figure out this complex digital world through awareness, education, and practical steps.
Yeah, that seems fair, which kind of leaves us and anyone listening with something to think about, doesn't it?
Like what?
Well, thinking about that term, digital pollution, and the idea of human-centered communication. How does that land in your own life, your own interactions, online and off?
Huh.
And maybe reflecting on that core message, is your own tech use mostly creation or is it consumption? And what difference does that make really to your well-being, your connections?
Definitely some food for thought there.